Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Moltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Completely forgot that we had a new intro.
Yeah,
I completely forgot
and
about
then,
that.
I didn't recognize this song, and I just immediately realized it's yet another pay-per-view. There's another pay-per-view Sunday.
Well, this is the greatest Royal Rumble theme.
This is the greatest Royal Rumble theme.
I know, but there's still another pay-per-view.
No, I know.
Yes.
Like, there's still another one.
Yeah.
You know,
Backlash, pal.
Yeah. We'll be live before and after it. We'll be doing a show before and after it. And
we'll see what
happens.
It'll
be quite the hodgepodge, but we'll figure out and get through it together, and we'll do something before and after Backlash, just like we did something before and after the Greatest Royal Rumble. What an event.
What an event indeed.
The Greatest Royal Rumble.
It was exactly what I was saying. Now that the event is over,
yep.
I can actually have things to point to that everybody was like, see, this doesn't look like a house show. And it's like, no, that's not what I was talking about.
Did you talk directly to the water boy about the Greatest Royal Rumble?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
I understood your train of thought the whole time. But you got to understand that there was also, as we walked into this show, a real cloud hanging over it that we changed a booking decision at a flippin' WrestleMania to accommodate it in a different place for this event. And when that didn't happen, you're right. It was a house show vibe with a pay-per-view set. No argument.
Right.
Gotcha. But going into the event, thinking that there was a real solid chance that Roman Reigns was going to win, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I know, because I didn't think he was going to win.
Felt like a big one, but
I didn't think he was going to win.
Well, he didn't, but we're going to treat it like there's controversy anyway.
That's the most insane thing.
Even though there's not.
Yeah,
so that gentleman's foot was on the apron.
Are we just going to jump right into that?
No, not yet. Let's do the whole thing where we say hi to everybody.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. If you're new to the show, if you're new to Twitch, or if you're new to the Mixler or iTunes or Glorknorbel or wherever you're absorbing this content, Spotify or Google Play.
This is episode 201.
201.
This is Advanced Thuganomics.
Exactly. We're four away from being number one contenders for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh, sweet.
Finally. I don't think any of us qualify, but we're going for it anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining the New Age Insiders. We're live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock right here on Twitch and on Mixler.com. Really, NewAgeInsiders.com has you covered everywhere that we're live. That website that is beautifully designed brings it to you. We're going to be talking about the Greatest Royal Rumble and what we think. We're going to be talking about the People's Birthday, because that's what it is. It's the 46th.
It's the People's Birthday.
It's the 46th birthday for the People's Champion, Dwayne The Rock. Not A Rock, The Rock Johnson. We'll talk about The Rock, his career, our favorite memories and moments. And now that we see that The Rock is probably, you know, maybe got one or two more matches left, it feels like it's definitely in the less than, you know, no more than three category of what The Rock has left for in-ring competition. we'll reflect on Dwayne Johnson's career and what we think, you know, his place in history is and really where he is in our lists and the lists and all that fun stuff that comes with all-time greats near the end. Who knows what else will be covered on the New Age Insiders podcast. And, of course, afterwards we'll be recording the Patreon edition, one of the five episodes you can get by being a Patreon on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders.
Yeah.
Be Heard is up and waiting for you guys. People were loving that one. Justin was laughing so hard he had to pull over. The story involves me, LSD, and double-stuffed Oreos.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com, search New Age Insiders. Again, if you're on newageinsiders.com already, you can sign up today. Here are the episodes, all the backlog
and
stuff.
Last week, when the Ring of Honor superstar and Super Junior's competitor, Flip Gordon, just showed up at the house.
Yeah, unannounced.
Unannounced.
But always welcome.
Yes.
But always welcome.
Straight up just showed up. There's also a 50-50 chance he does it again tonight.
Yeah.
But that's just because of who he is.
He could just be outside.
Yeah.
And if he and Christian Casanova ever want to come over, they're always welcome.
But the Patreon show last week was just an hour-long conversation with those two.
Yep, and you can hear a legitimately fascinating conversation about Flip, who you might have saw the post. He tagged us in it. Now I know exactly what it feels like to be an actual celebrity, because he tagged us in his post where he goes, "This is my last day as a soldier." And huge shout-out to Flip Gordon for an honorable discharge from the U.S. military and in his service. And being able to successfully juggle being active military with being a rising pro wrestler.
Right.
But he tagged us in the post, and every 20 second, like, Twitter literally sent me an alert I've never seen before, which said, "Whoa, you're getting a lot of notifications. Want us to filter these?" You know what I mean? But, you know, huge shout out to him. And there's an amazing conversation where he talks to one of our Hall of Famers, Rob, at Ringside Center. Rob is also just recently retired from being in the military. And they talked about, you know, just what it was like and having him miss drills and what it would have meant if he got kicked out of the army and what happens, you know, the decisions he had to make about, you know, prioritizing wrestling and the real risks he took to be active military and a pro wrestler who is dead, who was all in and dedicated to that field. But he's not on All In. And we'll have more information on that on March 13th. That's all we're allowed to say, is that we will have more information March 13th, because that is when All In is making a bunch of announcements. So that's when we'll make a bunch of announcements, is March 13th. But let's just say we are
That's a long time away.
But let's just say we are very, very excited for the 13th. The Greatest Royal Rumble was a show worth being excited about.
It was.
And I loved it. When people came to me and they were like, because obviously it was at a weird time slot. We talked about this. 75% of the audience from 12 to 5 on a Friday is at work or school.
Yeah.
So it's people that...
Well, and that's just on the East Coast.
Right, exactly. And yeah, and it's even early because it's out there, what, 9 to 2. So 75% of your audience was at work or school.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? During this Greatest Royal Rumble. And a lot of people came to us on Twitter and they said, "Hey guys, what did you think?" And the biggest, you know, it's almost this weird, you know, vaguity, but compliment at the same time, which is, it was worth watching. And it was a five-hour show, and I didn't say, just watch this or just watch that.
Yeah, everything was worth watching.
Just sit down and watch it. So that's what, you know, I don't know when we're going back. I know that we are.
Yeah.
And the show came
November.
There you go. And I know the show, have they named it yet? Is this going to be
I don't think it's going to be anything to the scale of this.
Ultimate Survivor Series?
I think they're just going to go back.
The most the most surviviest series of them all.
Ultimate Survivor.
Oh, yeah, there you go. We're going to bring in the cast of Survivor. We're going to have them fight on an island.
While the band Survivor plays.
They're going to fight on an island, and if they lose...
They'll hire Destiny's Child to play Survivor.
Ooh, okay.
That's Saudi money.
That might be the laziestly... I don't even know if that's a word. The laziest song ever written.
You're a survivor.
There's like 200 words in that song, and Survivor, 181 of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, "I'm a survivor, so I will survive, then watch Survivor. I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
You did survive it." And it's like,
wow. I don't know. Work is pretty close there.
Like, yeah, work.
Well, that's just Rihanna.
Well, I wasn't even thinking of that one. I was thinking of the one, "You don't have to go to work."
Oh, I hate that song.
Work from home.
I don't enjoy that at all. I don't enjoy that song at all. Work by Rihanna is just if somebody started playing a Rihanna album on a Walkman and then fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And so it skipped all the way
down. It's the theme of any I Mean
You,
too.
It's like she must have, like, the song must have been like work and then like something else, and then somebody fell down the stairs, and so it was just work. Yeah, right, exactly. Because that's what happened. It goes right.
That's what it is.
That was quite the visual.
Exactly. Just work. And you fell down the stairs with your Walkman, which came before the iPod.
It's a Walkman.
People don't even use that anymore.
Right.
A Discman is what
a
you know.
Discman.
I don't even know.
Discman.
Has Rihanna? Has anybody in the history of
Eric
Rihanna?
Discman.
Has anybody in the history of Rihanna ever bought a Rihanna CDs or strictly downloads?
I don't know. Depends on when "Pwned to Replay" was on.
It does.
Was that her first song?
I think a lot of really American history hinges on when "Pwned to Replay" was recorded, right?
It's true.
It's a real line in our history as a nation where it's like it's a pre or post Pwned to Replay world that we live in. But I really liked the Greatest Royal Rumble. Now we could talk about it. I don't want to harp on it.
Pwned to Replay? You don't want to harp on it?
We could play that.
2005, so CDs could have still been a thing.
Yeah, sure. I remember having the infamous big black CD wallet.
Yeah.
That was like your prize possession. For the life of me, I don't even know where it is anymore.
Yeah.
But it
Mine's
had like.
In the- back of my trunk.
It had like every CD, and what you did was you like organized the like labeled purchase CDs in the front, and then all your burned bullshit was in the back.
In
you know
case
what I mean?
The FBI showed up?
No, just because it was you when you had your friends open it up, you want them to see all like the art, the label art.
Oh,
and like the nice
CDs
first before it was just like, this has got Nookie and Korn on it. I made it myself. I'm 16 and I'm like always angry.
Boner Jams 03?
Yeah, exactly. Boner Jams 03. But you know what I mean? When you're 16 and just pissed and Korn's
you're
like,
just angry.
And you're like, oh my God, I say ah. I lock my room and scream.
I can beatbox and make a bullet stop flying.
I lock myself in my room and scream too, dude. Thus,
I have issues and the album issues.
Right. I too feel like a freak on a leash.
Freak on a leash.
So we can talk about it real quick. I don't want to harp on it because it didn't, because I just don't, and it just goes down this stupid path that I don't want to go down every week. But yeah, Roman Reigns lost. And so I understand that what the controversy they were going for.
Right.
Ironically, Roman Reigns did the spot so well that we can get out of it, unless he was supposed to put his feet on the ground, and then he fucking blew it. I don't know what to think.
Right.
Now, are you talking about the clip that NoDQ posted?
The thing on the apron.
Right.
His foot was on the apron.
Have we gone back and watched the whole sequence?
I thought that was in
did
real time.
Did his feet touch first eventually?
I thought that was real. No.
Brock rolls over.
Exactly. So what happened was Brock's back is on the ground, and they're like, well, the cage shouldn't count. Roman's feet were on the ground. And then you look, and again, I don't know whether this guy nailed it or blew it. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But his right foot is on the ring apron that luckily we used instead of a hard back or Titus O'Neil would no longer be with us, by the way. But
oh, man.
Roman Reigns' foot is on the apron. I'm guessing the reason we used an apron was to maybe potentially have that be an option. I don't know. But the controversy was, well, the cage shouldn't count as the floor. And so Roman Reigns' feet were on the floor. Well, if the cage doesn't count as the floor, then the apron doesn't count as the floor.
Right.
And Brock rolls over, his feet hit the ground, and Roman Reigns' foot is still on the apron. So again, I don't know if this guy crushed it and had the presence of mind to put his foot on the apron so we could just do the finish. But now the fact that we're not moving on from it tells me that we're maybe supposed to have both feet on the ground, and that guy was just like, you know, just wrestled a 320-pound gorilla and didn't realize where his foot was.
He also just landed mostly head first on the ground.
Yeah, right, exactly. He just DDT'd himself. Like super style.
Yeah.
So I get you. And I'm not faulting Roman Reigns. I just literally don't know whether he blew it or nailed it.
My issue is less about that and more about WWE. Why? Right? Because if I understand, and this is what I said, this is the type of finish that would happen at a house show.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, okay, they have a pay-per-view match coming up, but you want to see them wrestle, so this is how we get an indecisive finish to move on to the pay-per-view that's only a couple of weeks away.
Right.
Sunday, Roman Reigns is not wrestling Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
So when is Roman Reigns wrestling Brock Lesnar again?
I don't know.
And that's stupid.
Money in the Bank, probably.
That's stupid.
Well, And again, because we don't know what's going to happen yet. Maybe at Money in the Bank, Jesus, no one else is going to do it. But maybe it's Finn Balor, right? So let's just say, okay, what's the only name that could maybe do it?
Yeah.
And you know we won't, but whatever. For the sake of having a conversation, let's say it's Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor at the Money in the Bank,
right? Sure. I like rainbows and unicorns too.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But for the sake
of... This is a space soda conversation.
It really is. But let's say that, you know, Lesnar was going to face him, right?
Yeah.
Then, Roman Reigns got his shot, and he's just not the one to pin Brock, or at least not right now or whatever. But if he doesn't, and it's Roman Reigns again, right? Because I don't want, again, I don't want to vilify WWE for something they haven't done. Maybe it's Finn Balor, so I'm not going to vilify them.
Right.
But if it's Roman Reigns, yeah, it's like, this is a show about a fighting program. And what you're telling me subconsciously is, you think that Brock Lesnar is unbeatable, right? And you think he's so unbeatable that no one on this roster really has a prayer.
Right.
And the only one that, like, not has a real shot, the only one with a prayer is Roman Reigns.
Right.
So we got to keep, he's Beowulf, and we just got to keep throwing him at the monster, and maybe one of these times he'll slay him. You know what I mean? And what that does is, to me, it's just so damaging to everyone else, because it's like, you think the back, right? Again, it's a show. It's a TV show about a fighting promotion.
Right.
And this guy is just continuously the number one contender. That tells me that no one else on this roster is worthy, and this guy can't even beat him. And so what the hell is going on?
My issue isn't even the fact that Roman Reigns consistently is a number one contender. It's part of it. But it's also the fact that Roman Reigns isn't even fighting to get the number one contendership.
Yeah.
Like, Samoa Joe shows up the Monday after WrestleMania and doesn't say to Roman Reigns, ha ha, you lost, and now I'm going to fight you to prove that I should have been the number one contender all along.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm going to beat you up because that's what I do, even though you're still going to wrestle Brock Lesnar. And the commentary, whenever Roman Reigns is there, is still like, he's got Samoa Joe on Sunday, but Brock Lesnar is still waiting in the wings. And it's like, why?
The weird thing for me with this is, like, let's say that Roman Reigns is going to beat him at Money in the Bank, right? Because I don't care. If Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion, I don't care. I am not going to boo. I don't care, because guess what? Nothing's going to change. Seth Rollins is going to be everybody's favorite and the fighting champion on the show. Roman Reigns is going to do every single thing he's doing now anyway with a bright red belt over his shoulder.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that changes. So why would I freak out over that?
Right.
That's asinine. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why would you let that 15-minute segment he's going to be in ruin a three-hour show for you that you actually do like? So I'm not going to be a douche about it. But yeah, the reality with it, the whole thing is like, I'm surprised that if this whole reason that Brock was able to get over on him time and time again, if even one of the reasons is 434, right? Because if Brock makes it to Money in the Bank, which it looks like he will now because he's not working Backlash and he doesn't wrestle on Raw. So it looks like Brock Lesnar is going to beat the 434-day CM Punk modern day record. And I can hear you typing already. You're right. CM Punk is the longest reigning
WWE
champion. And what this company will do is they will not mention who had the record before, but what they will present you with Brock Lesnar is the longest reigning heavyweight champion of the modern era.
Right.
And that covers all their bases. It's not a lie. They won't say WWE champion. They will call him the longest reigning heavyweight champion of the modern era.
And they want you to think that these titles are equal anyway.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, is good job, WWE, for making this Universal title feel like a big deal.
It is, because now you can't wait to see who gets it off of him. And if it's not Roman Reigns, it's even more satisfying just because of the surprise factor.
Right.
Because people spent 365 plus days thinking it was inevitable. And so if Brock Lesnar, if one of the reasons we're doing this is so Brock was going to get 435, okay?
Right.
Then I'm, for the life of me, just kind of surprised. Not shocked, but surprised that Roman Reigns main evented this WrestleMania knowing we weren't going to put the guy that faced Brock over.
Yeah.
So this could have been anyone else. I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the plug-in opponent is.
Yeah.
Because Roman Reigns was going to be the conquering hero in the summer.
Right. And well, I think that this was WWE using the internet against us. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
And because everybody thought that they knew the finish, right? This is how we felt about The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody knows the finish. This is stupid. Let's, you know.
Why are we even doing it?
Yeah. Why are we doing it? This is dumb. This is stupid. And then Brock won. In both cases. And that's shocking.
Yeah.
And it was shocking.
Brock Lesnar dumb.
It is the Brock Lesnar dumb.
It's Brock Lesnar dumb.
And going forward, it's like, yeah, man, now you can do whatever you want because Brock Lesnar, who knows when he's going to lose? Yep. Is he going to get to 434?
Oh, he has to now.
You know what I mean?
He has to now. Mathematically, he'd have to literally drop on a Raw.
He would, right?
Because he's not working Backlash and Money in the Banks in June.
Yeah.
The May pay-per-view is about to come and go.
Yeah.
And he's not in Money.
And we're not shoehorning Extreme Rules in here somewhere?
I still think Brock Lesnar loses at SummerSlam. We'll see.
Which makes sense.
We'll see. But I think his 435 or whatever is inevitable. Just before we take a break and talk about The Rock and all that stuff, because there's a time and place to talk about when Brock Lesnar loses, who knows it looks like and all that stuff. Triple H and John Cena was very, very good.
Fantastic.
I liked the tag stuff. I liked the Intercontinental. Yeah. I like Seth Rollins stealing his title right from Finn Balor.
So good.
Just a really good show.
I loved the Rumble. The Rumble was fantastic.
Yeah, what do you want Braun Strowman to do now?
Oh, my God. He's got to win a title.
I hope so. He has already got one. He has the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Presents the Slime of the Year Award.
Yeah, right.
And he has it.
Yeah, but he's not actually toting that thing around.
No, not until Nickelodeon Kid Choice Award season.
Yeah, and then
he'll be the belle of the ball.
Yeah, correct.
But yeah, I love it. It's a great choice because what they did was they did everything they needed to do to have you stand up and clap and cry for Daniel Bryan. He didn't even have to win. Well, we accomplished a ton.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan got a bunch of sympathetic, oh my God, look, he just broke a Royal Rumble record because these things count all the same now. But he just broke a Royal Rumble record. First one in, almost, last three out. What a performance. This guy's back. So we got that done. We got heat on Big Cass for eliminating him from that Royal Rumble. And we got Braun Strowman even more over because he eliminated the guy with the heat and won the Bright Green Nickelodeon Presents You Slimer Slip Through This Belt. We're sorry.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the Ecto Cooler Championship. And we got three things done in one Rumble, and we had fun at the same time.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. And then I do want to address this because I was talking to somebody else about this, and I want to just kind of address it. Daniel Bryan was not held out of SmackDown because they're trying to bury Daniel Bryan.
Ay, caramba.
I saw that floating around, and
why would you think that after they just gave him such a tremendous showing at the Rumble?
Right, I do know that. But we talked about it, and I brought up the very real thing, Nick Giacobbe, because he asked the same thing.
Oh. Well, I love Nick.
And the answer is that the reason why the WWE changes the mat every time is because ringworm is a very real issue in wrestling, and his chest is basically an open raw wound.
Yeah,
and so he could have gotten ringworm on his chest.
Yeah. And we love Nick. And what I would say to Nick as well is to think about it this way: this is a car that we didn't think could run a couple years ago, and was just going to be pretty to look at it. Right, it was a museum car.
Yeah,
and then we had it looked over, and we go, "Oh my God, the engine works!" Right, but maybe we shouldn't drive it every day right away.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So this dude just put in a 75-minute, oh my God, performance.
Yeah.
Didn't work less than a week later. Did have all those concerns you're right about, open wounds and infections. And what I would just greatly encourage you is to look on the bright side. And WWE makes some frustrating decisions, but they don't hate you as much as you think they do.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I think, again, Daniel Bryan is just coming back. I don't want to put a pedal to the metal right away.
Well, and then the other thing, too, is okay, let's say he's got to stay out of one, right?
Yeah.
Would you rather SmackDown or Backlash?
Well, that's the thing, right? And again, it's really just about easing you back. We did this, they had to do this with Stone Cold Steve Austin. His neck was hanging on. So Austin didn't work Raw as much after the year, 2000. You know what I mean? Because it was about getting the most out of the miles. Most miles you can. You know what I mean? And like I said, the most out of the miles.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
You only got so many miles, and you got to get the most out of them.
Exactly. It's like if I could tell you that you could only drive your car 1,000 more miles, you would think twice about running to the store.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd use it for going to work and important stuff. And that's where I think we are with Daniel Bryan is, even though he's back, we do need to get the most from the miles. And we don't. SmackDown is running to the store.
Right.
And quite frankly, it's bigger picture here, just not important enough to get upset about.
Right.
But I understand where Nick's coming from, and I know he loves Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And we all want to see him.
And
came
I'm
back.
Not just picking on Nick. There were several people on the interwebs.
But Nick's a smart kid, and I understand where he's coming from because it's easy if you're a Daniel Bryan fan to panic with this guy and his positioning. So I don't think Nick's coming from outer space here.
Right.
I just would encourage him to look at this and say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And look how well they just put him over in Saudi Arabia. They're They're all in, man. They're good. They're
No, that show's in September.
That's correct. Daniel Bryan probably will not be there. If he does, it will be something catastrophic went down in the next like day or two, just to make sure the math works out. Take a quick break. Just final thoughts on the Greatest Royal Rumble grade, final review. Excited to go back to Saudi Arabia.
It was an A for me. I thought that show was fantastic. Chairs looked so comfortable.
Yeah, the floor just looked like you're at a luxury movie theater.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's like the difference between the luxe level.
They had wine glasses too.
Yeah, what? It's like the difference between being at one of those movie theaters that serves you booze in a nice chair, or like a schlub at a movie theater that doesn't even recline yet.
Yeah, right. You know, but it was an A for me. I loved it. I thought it was great. This is a prime example of what I want this network to be. I want more wrestling from the wrestling company that I like to watch wrestle.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. If you like. Bring cameras to everything so that I can see it.
Yeah. I understand why they don't live broadcast house shows test drives for TV.
I'm also not even talking about that.
Right, but I think you're onto something. Is you said bring cameras to everything. I don't disagree with you because here's the thing. What we know for a fact is like if you go to a house show, you will probably see something that night that will be on TV in the next couple weeks because they test it out, see how the guys do it in front of a live audience, see how it clicks, right? So I get why the whole house show isn't live, but to your point, there's got to be a match in there that don't care about,
right.
And at the end of the week, make a nice little compilation.
Because that's what I've said.
The best three live show matches, and that encourages live ticket sales. But go up and you go, holy shit, this is what a house show looks like. I've never even seen one.
Right, exactly. That's the thing that I've said for years now.
Yeah.
With the network is you have 5 or 6 house shows a week.
Yeah.
So at the end of the week, take the best matches and just throw them out there together.
And they don't need to be live switched and overly produced.
No.
They can be just crude cuts of like
two cameras.
Exactly. Like
a wide and a close.
Two cruiserweights went nuts. And you know what you do? You give them a spotlight because their cruiserweights certainly could use one. And people that have never been to a house show before go, oh my God, I didn't even know what it looked like or felt like. I didn't know they went balls to the wall. I thought it would suck. And you might even get house show ticket sales numbers up.
Right.
So you never know.
Like remember when Triple H was a part of the Shield?
I do.
Like, that would have been fun to see.
Exactly.
And now we just see it on, like, a weird cell phone camera.
Yep, and if they don't want to show it to you because it's an alternate universe, I bet you something happened at that show that you don't care if people see it and would work in your favor. I don't know. But again, kudos to them for putting on a great event. It's an A for me because I can't think of anything. Like, if you were like, what should I skip over? I can't think of the match that was like the sucky match.
The only one I can think of is the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Usos. But again, from a house show format, the Bludgeon Brothers are going to win that 100% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. No titles changed hands.
No titles changed hands.
Because that wasn't what we were doing.
And The Undertaker was here to have fun. And, you know, before you start complaining about Rusev, you know, it's just like, that was fun.
Do you think Rusev was ever going to win?
No.
Holy crap.
Do you think that when they put Jericho in, Jericho was going to win?
Don't feel bad for Rusev. Rusev didn't feel bad for Rusev. Rusev was probably psyched to be in that casket. Oh. Are you kidding me? He's probably like being a 12-year-old all over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I'm 16 and this is amazing.
Well, and this plays into the other thing that we kind of talked about last week, where it's like, and now Rusev is getting an actual story, not just trotting out there being all Rusev Day.
Right.
Because Lana is going to screw over Aiden English.
Yeah, and she hit her head and she's American now.
Yeah, that was very funny.
I should have made it a poll because I just made it a tweet and it did well, and I should have made it a poll.
Because that would have been funny.
It goes, I can imagine two things. One, they're dropping the accent and just don't want you to get over it. Or B, this chick straight up forgot she's supposed to be Russian. I can believe either one. I can believe that chick walked on camera and just like, what's up, dude? And he was like, uh-oh, we are live. You know what I mean? It's just like, I guess this is who Lana is now.
You keep messing this up for me.
Yeah, we can do Sid Vicious Cut, right? Where I go, cut, me and Gene, and me and Gene go, we are alive, and then they make it even worse.
It's like Rusev meets Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, I kind of like if Rusev became vampire, yeah? but I'm a wild and crazy guy.
Oh, now he's on SNL?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and again, if you want to hear a story about LSD, double stuffed Oreos, and a crime I probably committed.
That's definitely a crime.
Looking back, I probably should have gotten, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a crime.
Well, no harm, no foul. And
it's not quite the same as the Joker poisoning the water supply,
no.
But it's close.
No, it was just people looking super hard at those like Magic Eye posters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Again, like, sign up for Patreon if you want to hear.
Want to find out how my homeroom probably
had the best Monday ever.
Right, probably saw UFOs in a dinosaur magic eye poster because of the crime I committed. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. And again, it is the people's birthday. We will talk all about The Rock, our favorite memories and moments, and what we think his place in history is now that we are close to the end of the great one's career. The New Age Insider will be right back.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today. You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email. NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam, show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
The growing up, one of my friends whose mom watch wrestling with us. She had one of those 6-foot cutouts of The Rock.
Okay.
One
day.
What'd
she do with it?
That one day it disappeared up into her bedroom. And we have no idea what happened to it after
Came back torn to pieces and smelling of the ocean.
It's very weird. It's very odd.
Yeah.
Yuck.
You know what happened.
I do know what happened now.
And The Rock wouldn't even be mad.
He wouldn't.
He'd probably thrilled about it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of The Rock, a very happy birthday. If you're listening live on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, like you should be.
Like The Rock is?
Exactly.
The Rock
Hello
is.
To Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hello, Dwayne.
Yeah, regular contributor and listener.
Yeah, I loved you and Moana.
Yep. Yeah, I enjoyed the Hulk Hogan match.
I loved you in Jumanji as well.
Rampage was fun.
Rampage was fun. It was fun because I didn't have to pay for it.
I signed up for MoviePass today, so yay! I look forward to seeing a bunch of movies I would absolutely never pay to
like
see.
Like Rampage?
Like Rampage.
Yes.
Oh,
Skyscraper.
Yeah.
Probably half The Rock's catalog I wouldn't give money for, yeah. But if I'm bored.
Well, because The Rock's movie career is very high risk, high reward, because for every Jumanji, there's a Rampage.
Or a Tooth Fairy.
Or a Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, or an Escape
the
from
Game
Witch.
Plan.
Yeah.
Or Escape from Witch Mountain, which gave us a very fun meme.
Yeah, that look back behind the thing at the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, That one. I don't need to be any more specific or it'll just drag on. We get it, man. The thing. So Speaking of our 201st episode, which last week, these are consecutive, folks. We've never missed a week in 201 weeks.
Justin, we didn't talk about the game plan. The game plan was fun. Filmed in Boston.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was okay.
Okay.
It's better than the Tooth Fairy.
Was that the one with Kevin Smith? Or Kevin Hart?
No.
Rock was a quarterback for the Boston Rebels.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care. I just don't care.
I'm surprised we got that far.
I don't care. So speaking of consistency, the most consistently booked, reliable episodic programming in the history of pro wrestling, Molotov in the Morning covered a lot of the things that, you know, my stances and opinions.
Glowing endorsement.
Of The Rock.
See, the thing is that we're on episode 201 of the main show.
Uh-huh.
We're on episode like 5,000 of Molotov in the Morning.
Wow.
977,000.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, exactly. It's unbelievable. It's been going on since the Mesozoic era. And I'm very proud of that. I'm being the Cal Ripken.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be on the Orioles. Is there a way around that part of it? But I'm really proud of the record. But I, if you want my full thoughts kind of solo, and I do obviously enjoy talking about this much more in a group atmosphere, but I talked a lot about The Rock and what I thought about The Rock, and now we get to do it as a group. But I do just in general encourage you guys every morning, Molotov in the Morning, 5 days a week during the weekdays, download Periscope, follow us on Twitch and YouTube and all those platforms that it can broadcast live from, and I'd love to know what you guys think. And trying to make it even more interactive, send questions and topics, and we'll figure out a way to talk wrestling every morning together.
We're going to get you a set time to start. So it's appointment viewing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that.
Because every morning I'm waiting for it at work, and I'm just like waiting for the Twitch notification.
You're right, and that's the only thing that we haven't done over the last 977,000 weeks is nail down a specific launch
I'm itching
time.
And scratching for it every morning.
And apparently got buried on Glork Mobile. People complained.
Wow.
There's a weird algorithm there.
Yeah, but you can check it out. It's on our Twitter. It's on our Periscope. But when it comes to the people's champ, The Rock, this guy to me... big picture, and we'll break down into little smaller branches on the tree, I'm sure. But this kind of is two sides of the coin, is who The Rock is as a global phenomenon megastar, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? And then The Rock, the people's champion, multiple-time WWF champion, etc.
Yeah.
Because I think that The Rock is undeniably the biggest, capital S, star Vince McMahon has ever created, because you look at Hulk Hogan, right? And God bless Thunderlips. But I mean, that guy made Mr. Nanny, made the best episode of Baywatch in the history of the program.
Can we watch that after this?
Anytime you want, my friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Anytime you want, I'll watch that with you. Anytime. That or The Room is always a yes. Don't ask, just put it on.
Okay.
But Hulk Hogan was nowhere in the stratosphere of being the number one box office draw in the world.
Yeah.
Ever. Then you look at Stone Cold Steve Austin, who, yes, was in The Expendables 11 and has the Broken Skull Ranch show.
He was in the first Expendables.
Was he in the first one?
Yeah.
I thought he was in one of the many sequels.
No, he was in the first one. He dies.
Terrific. But nowhere close to the number one box office draw. And that's where Dwayne The Rock Johnson transcends any wrestler who's ever tried to be a big deal ever. Because the closest one before, I mean, like, literally might be the fact that Andre was so good in The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there is, to me, no denying that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who used all of his wrestling momentum to springboard to what we know him as today, is the biggest cross-platform, capital S, star Vince McMahon has ever pumped out.
Yeah.
But then I think you got to go to the other side of the coin, which is... now they want you, through revisionist history, because of all The Rock's success and presentation,
to think that he's the best wrestler.
To think he's the biggest wrestling star they've ever created, when he's not. That is either Hulk Hogan or, in his own era, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Or John Cena.
Right. But I think specifically, and we can talk about the whole thing, but I think specifically what they're trying to do is tell you that in the Attitude Era, it was about The Rock.
Yeah.
When we all... actually, no, it was about Steve Austin.
The issue with that is strictly because the way that the product is presented now, we can't show most of the Austin stuff.
Right, the fingers.
The beer, the just...
We don't even want to show you the Bret Hart match because of all the blood.
Right, right. The Rock is more wholesome.
Yeah, right. Because The Rock makes funny and says monkey nipple and stuff and all that, but The Rock... Didn't swear a ton. When he did, it was usually ass, which they seemed to green
which
light.
Which you're okay.
Which they green light.
Yeah, you can say ass.
And then you're right, because The Rock is just like usually mocking people with memorable lines that they want you to repeat and walk away from. You know what I mean? Because the difference is, you're right, like when The Rock comes back, which he does far more often than Steve Austin as well, and there's a point to be made there. But when The Rock comes back, like one of the fun, I got to give him credit. I've never been like a gigantic Rock guy.
Yeah.
But I got to give him credit. One of the funniest things I've ever seen on Raw was when he sang to Vicky Guerrero and sang Biatch, You Look Horrible Tonight, you know, with the remix of the Eric Clapton song.
Yes.
That's one of the funniest things. I can watch that over and
it's
over
so
again
funny.
And still laugh. But when we do that, the only thing that makes you go like, is The Rock said Biatch, right?
Right.
If we brought back Stone Cold Steve Austin, he would stomp somebody into the turnbuckle, pour beer all over them, more beer.
Do everybody remember Raw 25?
They didn't even let him talk.
They didn't let him talk. Two, there was that footage that was released after the fact from the back being like, don't show the fingers, don't show the fingers, don't show the fingers.
Exactly.
And it's like, so what are we here for?
Exactly. They didn't even let him talk.
Right.
They didn't let Stone Cold Steve Austin cut a promo.
Right.
It was just all, and somebody else did talk. So it wasn't like one of those things where it's just silence. Somebody else talks to him.
Yeah, Vince.
He didn't even
Vince
grab the mic.
Yeah, and he didn't,
My favorite Stone Cold Steve Austin bit used to be in 97, 98 when they had shitty microphones and it would crap out on him and he would just huck it up the stage because Austin was like, this thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
And he would just huck it because it's like, this thing, give me another one. And you know, and Vince would be like, that's a $5,000 microphone. And he was like, well, it didn't fucking work. you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it was awesome.
But
I love Steve Austin.
That's why. The reason is because in a world where they're trying to present themselves as always being wholesome, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin isn't that. But then you are at WrestleMania 32 and Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up and I was afraid the building was going to collapse.
And that's a point I want to make as well, because it's a point worth making that they were both at 32, right? That's when The Rock lit his own name on fire.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. So they were both there. And so what we have the opportunity to do, and I want to break this down because this is a really, really fair comparison to make. And a lot of points that stem off from it, right?
Okay.
So The Rock shows up and gets his Rock reaction, which is very big, right?
Yeah. And technically they both wrestled that night.
Yeah, kind of. So The Rock shows up and he gets his, oh my God, The Rock's here reaction, which is definitely big. Jamie, big reaction, right? Finn Balor wouldn't have got it at 32 unless he was coming back from injury, like I said, at WrestleMania 33. Never mind.
That's a uphill battle. You're still not going to win.
I know, but I got to try. And so The Rock gets his reaction. People are psyched to see him, whatever, right? And then Steve Austin comes out and the building shakes and you go like, oh my God, this is the most popular guy in the fucking world. You know what I mean? Like,
the only thing that probably could have topped that was if Hulk Hogan showed up, and that's only because we never thought we'd see Hulk Hogan again.
And it wouldn't be. And Austin would have outpopped him.
Yes.
Austin would have completely outpopped him. Would have popped. I don't know who other than Jesus could have shown up in Dallas that day and outpopped Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not kidding. I don't know.
Hulk Hogan hanging out with Jesus.
Like Hulk Hogan with like
with Jesus.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And Andre the Giant.
Right, like it would have had to be like, and we found Macho, he's alive! You know what I mean? Like that guy might have outpopped Austin that night if we found Randy Savage and he was just hiding this whole time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was just living off Slim Jim somewhere. And
in Florida. And
that might have done it, but no one else was going to outpop other than the Lord God's son, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
I don't think anybody would have outpopped Steve Austin that night, right?
Yeah.
And so, and now you say, because again, let's do the asterisk game so I can cover them all. Well, they were in Texas. And my immediate point to that is irrelevant.
Yeah, irrelevant.
10% of the audience is from Texas in that building. We did a pre-show live in the parking lot, the tailgate for Connor's Cure, right? And when we had hundreds of people in front of us, when they go, who here's from Texas? A few hands went up.
Yeah.
People were from all over the country,
10%,
all over the
world. I think 10%.
Right, exactly. Let's just say 10%, give or take, right?
Because it's the same thing with nobody that we had spoken to was from New Orleans.
Right, and that's why when Hogan said Silverdome,
nobody cared.
They didn't boo him out of the building because you, A, didn't know he was wrong, or B, didn't care because it's not your home building, and so you don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when we go to MetLife next year for WrestleMania, right?
Right.
And somebody and Hulk Hogan comes out and calls it Shea Stadium. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like I don't care.
Yeah.
And so in Texas, yeah, I'm sure the people from Texas screamed the loudest, but they weren't many of them.
Well, that's also not a fair thing because wrestling is one of, like, John Cena doesn't get louder pops in Boston.
Exactly.
He doesn't get louder pops in Boston.
There was a good time when we went, a good chunk of time when we went to Boston events with John Cena and people were like pissed
that he was from here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not, it doesn't equate the same.
Yep. And so Austin didn't get that earth shattering reaction because we were in Texas. It's just, it's not the reason to me.
Yeah.
And then you got to bring up the fact, well, you see Austin a lot less. And you're right.
It's true.
And that's a factor.
That is.
But what I would also tell you is, completely spitballing because I have no way of scientifically calculating this, I would tell you that if Austin showed up as often as The Rock, he would still outpop The Rock.
The Rock also doesn't show up as often as you think anymore.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because The Rock, might have been the last time that The Rock showed up, right?
It was 32?
It was 32.
I can't remember.
I can't remember anything
else. I don't remember. But, like, even, I would say, like, let's say we see The Rock
right
once a year, and we saw Austin once a year, right?
Yeah.
I think Austin would still outpop The Rock.
I agree.
That once a year.
I agree.
Year.
But again, and again, I go back to the reason why we saw The Rock was all pre-Fast Five, right? Yep. Because The Rock's movie career up until Fast Five wasn't good. It wasn't good because that's when we get the Game Plan and the Tooth Fairy, you know, and it's before he's in the action movies. We had the GI.
Did he make a movie with Stifler?
Yeah,
Walk the Line, or Walk Tall, or
one of those.
But Stand Up Straight Stifler.
Yeah, Stand Up Straight Stifler.
Yeah,
but that's the type of movies that he was in when he was showing up more regularly.
Yeah,
right. Now that he's after Fast Five, he doesn't show up as often as you think.
Right. And
so,
and I have no way of scientifically calibrating the great what if Steve Austin showed up as often.
Right.
He doesn't, and it's a factor. Right. And, like, one thing I'll say, and, like, I hope he doesn't hear this because for all sorts of reasons, Steve Austin's podcast isn't great. It's not. What you think it's going to be is Steve Austin cutting through the bullshit, asking the tough questions, demanding answers. He doesn't. He'll ask the toughish questions, not demand answers. Like, I remember specifically, like, with McMahon, when did you decide The Undertaker was going to lose? And you let him right off the hook. We got no answer at all, and Austin moved on. And so I don't think Austin's show is great. There, I said it.
Have you listened to Austin's show not on WWE Network?
Yes, I have. And I just
the early stuff? Because the early stuff was very cut into it.
Yeah. Because I don't think he's a great interviewer.
He's also like 600 episodes in now.
I don't think, but I listened to something as recently. I listened to a show he had in the year 2018. And so that's I don't know what month or whatever.
I know what you mean. Because there's a lot of him just like rustling around.
I just don't think he's a great interviewer.
Sure.
Right?
I don't think that's supposed to be the aesthetic, though. I don't think he's supposed to be like an Anderson Cooper. I think he's supposed to be like kick back, have a couple beers, and talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can get that from a lot of people. I thought Stone Cold Steve Austin asked the tough questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, JR is more the guy that gets the tough questions.
I guess. I don't know. I thought Colt Cabana was the kickback and talk to me about wrestling guy, but whatever. I just don't think it's a great show. But it's super duper popular. Why? Because it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
That's the point I'm making here. Is why is it what it is? It's because you love Stone Cold Steve Austin. So
Jericho's
much.
Probably the best.
Jericho probably is the best as far as like sit down and talk to me guy. I want Stone Cold Steve Austin to ask me
you
questions.
You want the character to interview the people, not.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what he presents it as. It's called the Stone Cold Podcast. It's not called Talk to Me, Steve.
It's called the Steve Austin Show.
Yeah.
On the network, it's called the Stone Cold Podcast.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. but you also can't give me that. You can't tell me that why you have the show is because you're Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then you don't show up and be even close to Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's why I'm listening to this show. I don't want to put down Steve Austin's podcast. I have no interest in doing that. But the point is you like it, and anything he does is immensely popular. With The Rock, I would equate The Rock to what I think Triple H wants you to think. Where I think Triple H, but The Rock is different yet the same. Where I think Triple H goes, yeah, remember the Attitude Era? It was Steve Austin and The Rock and Taker and me. And it's like, I don't think a lot of people that live through the era think Attitude was Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah.
Triple H won his first WWF title in late 1999, right?
Right.
And people think the Attitude Era ended in 2001 with the handshake between Austin and Vince. And so Triple H ruled the year 2000, right? And so did The Rock. But guess who wasn't there for the year 2000? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
And I think that the Attitude Era is much more, when I think of it, Austin, Rock, Foley, Taker. And Triple H was definitely there, but Triple H owned Ruthless Aggression. And even then, I think, was often the guy you... the guy that wrestled the guy you came to see. And that's what I think about The Rock. I think The Rock in the year 2000 was great. Steve Austin's hurt. We need a baby. You're the baby. Here we go. But I think more often than not, The Rock was there to wrestle the guy you wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah. With The Rock, I thought that he filled the role very well when Austin went down in terms of the top good guy, because Triple H was the top bad guy.
Yeah.
And Triple H did a great job being the top bad guy when asked to be the top bad guy, because the Ruthless Aggression era, Triple H and The Rock, for the most part, their contributions were in the mid card, right? Because D-Generation X was being wacky and goofy, and they were making fun of the Nation of Domination.
You're talking about you said Ruthless Aggression. Attitude.
Attitude. Era. Attitude. It's, yes, yeah. Attitude. And so their contributions are very similar, where most of it is them involved with one another in the mid-card over the Intercontinental title, and then when Rock gets pulled up to wrestle Austin and be Austin's foil, that's only like 2 or 3 years before we really kind of kick off the Ruthless Aggression era into the 2000s.
I think so, and you're right about Triple H too, because those guys are forever paralleled in length. They fought for King of the Ring tournaments, Intercontinental Championships. They've been interlocked for a long, long time.
Right.
They are long time rivals in this company. And what I think, just, you know, to oversimplify it, is I think Triple H wants you to think of him the way you think of Shawn Michaels, and I think The Rock wants you to think of him the way you think about Steve Austin, and I disagree.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with both of those things, because the maturity date is not the same.
Yeah,
like the Rock got picked up first because you're the top bad guy, right? Because up until the game, Triple H was a good guy,
right?
Like you liked Triple H because he was in DX. Yeah, he was in DX. He was leading the charge against WCW with tanks and telling everybody to suck his dick. You know what I mean? And you were you're so funny.
They did do that.
They did that. You know, so yeah, the maturity date of the bad guy was a lot sooner. But then when the roles got flipped, I think that Triple H is a better bad guy than Rock was a good guy.
Oh, I agree with that. Also, Caroline Potvin, shout out. It was The Rundown with The Rock.
The
and
Rundown.
Stifler, with The Rock and
Stifler. Yeah, and then Wyclef Jean was in it.
Great.
Yeah, sure.
Great. But to The Rock's credit, because I do think he's an all-time guy or whatever, even though he's not my favorite wrestler ever, I think he's an all-time guy.
My issue with The Rock is very similar to the one that I have with CM Punk.
Overrated?
No, in the sense that the sample size ultimately is too small.
Okay.
You were at the top as the good guy for 3 years.
Yeah, The Rock had checked out by 2002.
Right.
Like, he dropped to Brock Lesnar, made the Scorpion King, and like barely came back much after that.
Because, you know, the big thing that I can remember was in 2004 wrestling with Mick Foley, and that was like a, oh my God, The Rock's back.
Right, exactly.
At Mania 20?
Mania,
that was his last match.
Right. So, you know, so I don't really remember anything. So, that was his last match.
Before Cena.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Before Cena.
But that
was
him
7 years later?
That was him coming back, right? Like, he dropped to Brock, did the Scorpion King, wasn't really around much in 2003.
Yeah, not a ton. No.
2003 was the Hollywood heel Rock, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he fought Bill Goldberg at Backlash 2003.
And then 2003. He was gone.
Right, yep. And he beat Stone Cold at WrestleMania in 2003,
wrestled
Goldberg, and then disappeared for a long time.
And then came back for WrestleMania the next year.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And so, like I said with CM Punk, the maturity date was just not it. You as the top guy was just so small and so finite that, yeah, it's really tough for me to put you in the same category as, you know, Hogan and Cena, really.
Yeah, it's this weird thing because he is a mega star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. He's very popular.
And there's no doubt about it, but I just think he falls into this weirdly, with all due respect in the world, overrated category. But here's the thing, you know, here's the praise for him because he deserves it and all that stuff. I have a connection with The Rock because he's forever linked to some of the biggest memories I have with pro wrestling.
Yeah.
My first live wrestling event.
I was going to get there eventually,
was King of the Ring 2000.
Yep.
I had never been to a WWF show before.
Nope.
you know, it's a pay-per-view back in the day with King of the Ring 2000. They had a custom set. I had never seen the pyro and heard the entrances, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And he headlined that.
Yeah.
And that was the match where it was Rock, Kane, and Taker versus Vince, Shane, and Hunter. And if anyone on the good guy team beat anyone on the bad guy team, they could win Triple H's belt. It's also the first time we did that spot where they had Taker chokeslam Shane from the turnbuckle through the announce table. Unbelievable stuff to be there live.
Yeah, it was nuts.
And he headlined that.
Yeah.
And so did I want Kane to win? Yes. But he
wanted Kane to win too.
But he won and the crowd went crazy and it was the lasting memory, probably the right decision. Steve Austin's hurt. We need to christen you the new top baby this year. That's why he won.
Yeah.
Gotcha. No problem, sure. Right? Crowd went home majority happy, right?
Yeah, I was.
Exactly.
I wanted Kane to win, but I was very happy.
But
to
I wasn't bummed.
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget that the main event and the winner of the championship match of my first wrestling show was The Rock. My favorite wrestling match ever is The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. It's not a pro wrestling, as much as I love it, and recommend it, is not about Dean Malenko versus Eddie Guerrero.
No.
It's about The Rock versus Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And that's the best wrestling match, pro wrestling match ever, because it's about, because the double switch and the Hulk Hogan flexing and The Rock doing physical stuff.
It's the larger than life characters. I don't care how good Dean Malenko is,
exactly,
technically.
Right.
I can't get into any of his matches.
Right. Even Bret couldn't have been a part of something like that.
Yeah.
And you know how much I put over Bret Hart. And that's the best wrestling match ever. It's my favorite one. And The Rock did most of the work physically and the match wouldn't have been the same without him. Totally. Because if that was Hogan versus Steve Austin, I don't know if Hulkamania comes back.
No.
Because the crowd was so ready to turn on The Rock the way they've never really done for Austin.
Right.
And it just would have been a different match. And then Hulkamania might not have come back and who knows.
Right.
And we had a very fun time after that. And so all the subsequent stuff just makes it special to me. And The Rock is part of that. Really quick before we go, what are your favorite Rock moments, memories, matches? Bill, you're a big Rock fan. What are your favorite moments, memories, matches?
One of my favorite Rock moments was at Mania 21, where... I'm sorry, not Mania 21. I was thinking Hulk Hogan. Sorry. Skip me for a second.
Obviously, the King of the Ring is ultimately very important to me in a lot of the same ways. That's kind of the first thing that I always think of. My first WWF event as well. So The Rock winning the WWF Championship that night was really cool, really fun to see, really exciting to watch. I also remember the Iron Man match. I always think of the Iron Man match between him and Triple H, where Shawn Michaels is the special guest referee. I love all
SmackDown?
No, it was a pay-per-view.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it was a pay-per-view.
They did the first SmackDown where they fought each other, right? And Shawn Michaels fucked The Rock.
Yeah. And so, that was great. It was a ton of fun to watch. I remember watching that. That was one of the first times I was allowed to, watch a pay-per-view at a friend's house and, stay up, super late. And so I, remember that, and it was a ton of fun. I love Shawn Michaels, and then at the time, I'm, a kid, so I love The Rock because he's the good guy, and I hate Triple H, but we all know how I feel about Triple H.
Sure.
And so that comes up. And then, I was excited for WrestleMania 29. Not 29. Once in a lifetime. 28
was the first one.
Yeah, 28. I was excited for that. I do think
that was a good program.
We
just didn't need to do it again.
Yeah, we didn't need to do it again. I was excited for it. I was excited. I remember getting it. I remember watching. I remember being shocked when The Rock won.
Yeah, right.
I was like, holy moly. But that was a ton of fun. The once in a lifetime lived up to the hype, and that was a ton of fun. I don't think we needed to do twice in a lifetime.
We didn't, but we had Rock win, so we had to do it again. One of my Rock memories is I remember specifically, I think a lot of people know if they're longtime listeners, to either the 200 episodes previously of New Age Insiders Wrestling Show or one of many 977,000 Molotov in the Mornings.
Yeah.
I was a big WCW guy, and I would say that what I did was watch about 65-35 Nitro to Raw.
Yeah. Okay.
On average, unless something specifically was catching my attention.
Yeah, right.
And I remember the Rock, This Is Your Life segment.
Yeah.
And I remember it being long. Isn't it close to a half an hour?
Yeah, it was 25 minutes.
It's a long segment.
It's very long.
And I remember, as somebody who preferred WCW, flipping over, watching it, and sticking with it. And a half an hour back in the Monday Night Wars was a good chunk of time to have your audience stick to one show or the other. And so even though everybody remembers flipping over for The Rock versus Foley, where Austin came down and out popped everybody and helped Foley win the title, right? The taped one. This is when Raw was finally starting to be live because they needed to compete and they couldn't have the spoilers get out. And that segment was laugh out loud funny. It launched the career of Yerple the Clown.
Yeah. and who went on to have a Hall of Fame clowning career.
The only bittersweet part about that segment is it has been the brainchild for a dozen terrible segments themed in a similar way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether it be Bailey, This Is Your Life, the old
John Cena.
The old day was a play on that.
Right.
You know, the
it's you've taken the skeleton of the This Is Your Life and tried to capture that magic in a bottle again.
And you'll never do it again.
No.
And that's the only downside about it is that they thought that they could do it again and recreate it and you couldn't. But that segment, that 20-year-old segment, was magic and still holds up.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Rock memories was actually a rehash of that segment. It was in Boston. It was John Cena, This Is Your Life. I don't know if you guys were at that Raw or not. And Mick Foley was doing this whole thing, and Johnny Vegas was actually John Cena's baseball coach or something.
Yeah, Little League baseball coach.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jonathan Las Vegas.
Yep. So they had three guys come out there, and then Foley started going off on this tangent saying that there was this girl that was coming out now. It was somebody from Cena's past, and she had breath like mountain strawberries. And then all of a sudden, the Rock's music hit, and he came out, and the place exploded. The place went nuts. He comes out, Rock bottoms Foley, turns around, walks out.
She had breath like mountain strawberries?
Something like that, yeah. Wild strawberries?
What a weird compliment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's not an insult, but what a strange, specific compliment. You have the breath of wild strawberries. That's one of my favorite Rock memories. The guy was involved in a lot of stuff. I mean, again, it's weird that I'm not a huge Rock fan, but he's linked forever. That was Goldberg's introduction.
Yeah.
Was spearing the Rock on WWE TV and working his first match at Backlash.
Right.
Interesting thing, a story I just learned. So Goldberg shows up, right? And the Rock goes, "This guy is not going to be able to keep up with me. I have no faith in him. I don't like WCW. I have no trust in anyone they send me." And so that Backlash was in Worcester.
Yep.
They went to the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. It was called the Chaotic Training Center at the time.
Yep.
And Bill Goldberg and The Rock had their match in full in North Andover, Massachusetts, at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy ring. So the same ring that Callie's training in now.
Right.
And we talk about Brian Fury all the time.
Yeah.
9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Here comes The Rock. Here comes Pat Patterson. Here comes Bill Goldberg. So, and Jamie's just like, "Yeah, have the ring and do it."
He watched
them do the whole match so The Rock would have confidence in Goldberg going into the pay-per-view.
That's
pretty cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Like,
how much would you give to see that?
Yeah.
Me more than you.
Yeah.
But how cool would that have experienced it?
Yeah.
The Rock is inevitably going to go down as one of the biggest stars ever because, A, Vince wants you to. They want to take all the commercial success and find a way to take some credit for it, which they deserve, because there is no Dwayne Johnson without the Rock part. You know what
right.
I mean? You know what I mean? And first of all, real quick, huge shout out to New Age Insiders Hall of Famer Shane Thomas, who is taking part in our 1NAI project, sent us an article. It's a counterpoint to us, and he goes, "Hey guys, with all due respect, I think The Rock should be considered the first black WWF champion. Here's an awesome article why. It's up on newageinsiders.com. I tweeted out a link. Please check it out and let us and Shane know what you think of it." Do you think he's the first black WWF champion?
I don't.
No.
I don't. And it's just in presentation.
Well, the point that Dylan made was outstanding.
And you know what? I don't want to steal Dylan's thunder, but after hearing it, it's like, oh yeah, no, that's exactly how I feel.
Dylan, another awesome person and one of the best, Dylan Salone, said, "It's no-brainer that The Rock played Maui. It would be weird if The Rock played the Black Panther."
It would be.
If The Rock was cast as the Black Panther, even no matter who I'm talking to, you would think it's weird.
Yeah.
You would.
Right.
You know what I mean? But check out the article. Leave your comments. That's for that. But The Rock is inevitably, like I said, just to kind of wrap up the whole thing before we get out of here. Again, go to patreon.com/newageinsiders and talk to us all about these things 7 days a week. But The Rock is the biggest cross-platform star by a mile. I literally can't think of who the second guy is. I guess it's Hogan.
Or Macho, because he was in those commercials.
Right, maybe because of the Slim Jim commercials. That's not a bad one to throw in the ring as a contender.
Yeah.
It's not. It's kind of Andre, because everybody loves the Princess Bride.
Right.
It's kind of Hogan, because everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. But that same token, everybody that knows who Hulk Hogan is also knows who The Rock is, and there's a ton of people out there that have no idea who Stone Cold Steve Austin or Hulk Hogan actually are. If you showed me a picture, they wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Right.
If they're just in regular clothes, but everybody knows who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is now.
Yeah.
But then I think from the wrestler side of things, he is somewhere on a 10 to 15 man totem pole,
right,
but not on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
My Rushmore's still Bruno, Hogan, Austin, Cena.
Yeah.
That's still my Rushmore of this thing.
Yeah.
And not The Rock. But on the other side, no-brainer that I don't even know. The Mount Rushmore of, like, who's the biggest movie star? Is the biggest movie star before him Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Yeah.
Because everybody saw They Live.
Yeah. And
swear
it was
to,
fun.
Swear to God.
It's, yeah.
What is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got to look at, it's got to be Andre because of The Princess Bride.
Yep.
Macho Man.
Okay.
Because of the Slim Jims.
On the Patreon edition of the show that we're going to record right now, we're going to talk about places that we want to see WWE travel to with Saudi Arabia, yes, being such a success. Another topic I want to talk to you about.
Ooh, very fun.
And here's a tease to go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders to sign up today. Go to newageinsiders.com. Bill has a link up there. He's awesome. Kane won by 17 votes.
No.
And he's the mayor.
No, he's not mayor yet.
Well, he won.
He won the Republican nomination.
Oh, I thought he won.
No.
I thought he won, too.
Okay.
I heard that.
But
okay,
he won the Republican nomination.
Correct.
For mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
That's amazing.
Kane. So we just talked about The Rock and all that. We're not going to go into such detail, obviously, because there's other things to talk about. But Kane might be done now, too, yeah?
He has to be.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean? Unless he loses the big election.
Yeah.
Kane's close to done.
Yes.
Right? He's 50% of the way there.
Yeah.
Right? It's all or nothing on the big.
Now it is.
Right. It's all or nothing on this election.
Right.
So we'll talk about that, too. Patreon.com. We'll go to NewAgeInsiders.com. There's a Patreon tab. You can't miss it. Huge shout out again to Shane Thomas.
Yeah.
We want your 1 AI submissions.
Yeah.
Email us a video so I can embed it in these tweets. Send us your articles. I know Danielle Sullivan's writing an article as we speak. She's going to get it up there. She'll be on the 1NAI part of NewAgeInsiders.com. When we post these topics of what do you think of The Rock and what's his place in history, put a video response on the thread for Twitter. You know what I mean? And
right,
so we can get your voice out there. We're really excited about 1NAI. We know you guys are too. You saw the video if you're watching on Twitch. I'm going to put the video out there for Twitter people to see. And we want this to be the most interactive experience possible, including what we got coming up on Sunday. We will have a broadcast before Backlash and live after Backlash. The details will sort of come together, but the traditional places you find us, Mixlr, Twitch, all those things, will still be able to find us.
The reason why is because I have to travel to the Middle East, and I bought a hat.
He did.
I bought a hat.
Yep.
And so,
oh, look at that thing.
It's not unfitting.
I have two settings when it comes to sun. And that's regular and extra fucking crispy.
Yeah.
And
Irish.
Yeah. So
you have one setting.
Yeah.
Irish.
Irish. And so my head doesn't get burned. I bought a bucket hat.
Yeah. And it doesn't.
And if you're watching on Twitch, you can see said bucket hat.
It doesn't look ludicrous on you the way it would look on me.
You know,
it just doesn't.
It looks like I'm going to go fight Predator in the jungle with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse the Body Ventura.
It looks like you're the one that found the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe
it. Yeah, it looked like I'm going to go find the Bushwhackers.
So we'll talk all about that. And again, we'll be live before and after Backlash.
I'm going to wear this hat the whole time.
Talk to you guys during Backlash if you're a Patreon. We cannot wait for a pay-per-view that definitely needs to happen. WWE,
like Money in the Bank.
WWE Backlash 2018, a pay-per-view we just absolutely need to have.
Yes.
For certain. And how could we not? thank you to all of our Patreons, our Hall of Famers, to everybody that's participating in the 1NAI project, and that could be you as well. The next time you'll hear from us will be Sunday. Molotov in the Morning is tomorrow morning. We will lock down a time before the month of May is over, but tomorrow morning, make sure you're subscribed to Twitch, YouTube, Periscope, and you guys can participate. We're really enjoying it. Anything you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to be doing Late Night Liam. We're going to do it. We're going to talk about a very, very interesting story regarding the Washington Redskins cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Stick around for that. So if you're listening live, don't go anywhere, and we will catch you soon. If you didn't get a chance to listen live, make sure that you're subscribed on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. Subscribe to twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, YouTube, Periscope, all the fun Facebook, Instagram. I don't understand Snapchat, but we might have one. I don't even know. Follow along, comment, subscribe. You guys are the best. My name's Jason Molotov.
I'm Liam Straggart.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on all platforms at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. If you like what you're here, tell your friends to check us out live every Wednesday night on NewAgeInsiders.com. They can also check out DC and Doc Talk. The list is going on. DC and Doc. Doc is dead or back from the dead, half endorsed. Check out DDT Wrestling. Salty Chips is coming back with Chip and Damian Salty G, who we love so much. The McCool 3 Count, he's found his platform. We're building that show. That's coming up. We got a new female partner that'll be joining us this year as well. We're really excited with everything you can find on NewAgeInsiders.com, including the Patreon and the shop. And all together, you make us the premier place. for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.